So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. Today we're going to be looking at John chapter 17, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. But before we do that, we're going to commit our time to God and ask for his grace. Loving Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to thank you and praise you that we have this wonderful new day in which we can seek your grace and your strength and your encouragement. And we pray that we discover that as we look at John chapter 17. We ask that you'd open it to us and that it might have impact upon our lives. And we pray all this for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let's read then John chapter 17 and verse 1. And after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So then as we begin this new Thought for the Day series in John 17, we need to understand where we are in the life of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus is about to go to the cross. He spent 3 years with his disciples, teaching them, preaching and healing the sick. And most people place this prayer in the upper room just before Jesus heads off to the Garden of Gethsemane. What is beautiful about this prayer is that it gives us a glimpse into the heart of God. It shows us his passions and his concerns. And it is a very intimate prayer, teaching us much about the bond between Jesus and his Father. Now in John's Gospel, it comes directly after the explanation that when he finally gets to the cross, all the disciples would scatter and that he would be left alone. Yet even though he would be deserted, he wants us to understand that he would overcome and that we would know peace, peace that would triumph over trouble. So Jesus looks up to his Father. He addresses him, all of his words to him. Yet we have that tremendous privilege of, as it were, listening in. This is a good example of what prayer meetings should look like. As we direct our prayers to our Heavenly Father, our brothers and sisters get to hear, but they are not the recipients of our prayer. Our communion in prayer is with the Father, just as it is here with Jesus. Notice that Jesus goes direct with his to his Father, with his Father. He goes indirect with that word Father even. He is the Father's Son, and he can go in without any preamble. He can go directly, knowing that he will get a hearing. It's only by the grace of God, isn't it, that that in Jesus we have the privilege of adoption, and that we too can go directly to God. Imagine, if you will, a king upon his throne, and before him day after day come his subjects with their many requests. All of them have booked appointments, they've gone through the official channels, they have to make sure that they have the correct greeting and homage to pay the due respects to the king. And even as they're gathered there, into this busy hall runs the king's son, or comes the king's son. And just one word is enough to get the king's attention. Father. All the privileges of family are his. And what is Jesus in the presence of his Father for? Well, it's time. Well, time for what? Time that the Father honours or glorifies the Son. Well, Jesus has been busy. He's come into the world. Since he's come into the world, he has been getting ready for one event, and that event is nearly upon him. He's going to be arrested. He's going to face trial. And though innocent, he will be condemned to death, to die an excruciating death on a cross, bearing the punishment that our sin deserves. And then he will be buried. And after a few days, he will then be raised to life, having made the way clear for guilty sinners to be saved, having made a way through death to eternal life for all who believe in him. In order for all of this to happen, Father and Son and Holy Spirit are to be united in that course. The Father will honour the Son by giving him the strength to go through it and by raising Jesus from the dead. And he will do that, obviously, by involving the Holy Spirit. The whole Godhead accomplishes salvation for us. Unless we think this is kind of a one-sided, the Father's so heavily involved, but the Son's just passive in it. Unless we think that, then Jesus will glorify his Father by being obedient, even being obedient to death on a cross. John helps us see back in chapter 10. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. So what can we draw from this? What can we draw from this opening verse of John 17? Well, there is a wonderful relationship between Father and Son, and into this relationship we are asked to come, a relationship of love and of family. When we confess our sin and we seek Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we too get to enjoy such close fellowship. Whatever comes your way today, make sure that you are in regular contact with your Heavenly Father. Jesus teaches us that it is incredibly important. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to grasp just the importance of coming into your presence. We thank you that we have the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us, that we might know that we can come boldly before your presence. And Father, we thank you that you answered the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you honoured him as he honoured you in that death on the cross all those years ago. And we thank you that that means that salvation is ours and access into your presence is guaranteed. In Jesus' name, amen.